Test 1, 2.
Good morning, everyone. How are y'all doing today? Good. That's real good. Let me see. Our first hymn of the day is 673. And let's stand, please. 673.
When we all get to heaven, what a day,
rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus. We'll sing and shout the victory. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of Him in glory will the toils of life repay. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Onward to the prize before us, soon His beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open, we shall tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day, Lord. Sun shining through the windows. The opportunity, Lord, to be here today. Thank you for it. Thank you for our church, Lord, our church family. Believe it or not, Lord, it looks like we're all just spreading a little love around today and just thanking you for it all. Thank you for this great nation we live in, Lord. We know it's many problems, Lord. We pray for our leaders that they might turn to you, Lord, for answers they need and guiding our nation. Lord, there's a lot of war, a lot of turmoil, a lot of garbage going on in our world today, Lord. But I know it's your plan, Lord, being worked. You're in control of it all. Help us, Lord, as we go into your word today, Lord. Our pastor's going to be guiding us. Guide him, Lord. Direct him. Make him the strongest man in the room today, Lord. That what you have through him today might speak to each and every one of us today, Lord. Help us as we sit and listen today that maybe something that he says today might apply to us, Lord. That we might open our hearts, Lord, for you. That we might even make a decision for you today, Lord. Thank you for this time, Lord. Be with us all. Be with our choir. It's about to sing. Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
Take my
Let me see. Where are we at here? 705, please. 705. Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then where you go. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name. How sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Take the name of Jesus ever as a shield from every snare. If temptation drown you gather, breathe that holy name in prayer. Precious name. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. At the name of Jesus bowing, falling prostrate at his feet, King of kings in heaven will crown him when our journey is complete. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Thank you. Jason?
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Beautiful day we have here today, and good to see everybody and some guests that we have as well with us. Welcome to Fruitland Baptist Church, and precious name, oh how sweet, thank the Lord, and for all that he has done through us through his son Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit with us. So today let's get into our time of announcements, and Jeff, if you have the clicker back there, get us into the announcements. Oh, we're already there. Okay, well, praise God. On the right-hand side of your bulletins are the announcements here. We have evening service, 6 p.m. The message is Ezekiel 38 and 39 and Revelation 20, the role of Russia, one of Satan's agents. Communion is today as well in the evening service. And personal evangelism, the 5th and the 19th. It's Tuesday evenings. And once again, we're meeting at 6, I believe, is what we're still doing. Yes, that's right. Yeah. And, some of us do meet separately. So if you want to, come and talk to Pastor or myself, we can talk about that as well if you want to join those groups. Otherwise, we meet at the church and then go out from there. Work day at the church is April 9th at 8 a.m., which is also Iron Sharpens Iron, the same day. Once again, at the 9th at 9 a.m. And then we will meet at the church unless otherwise specified. And, of course, that's what we normally will do. So that shouldn't change. Choir practice is after this morning's service. And women's Bible study, I got a note from Beth on that. The bulletin says the 16th and the 30th. That is incorrect, so please cross that off. It's actually the 23rd at 10 a.m. And, of course, you guys can see Beth if you have any questions about that as well. Wilton Bible Study, 14th and 28th. Once again, Wilton Presbyterian Church basement is where that's taking place. And what is the time on that, Pastor?
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock. Okay. And let's see. Next fellowship will be in June. Kitchen team will be Kim, Sharon, and whoever would like to help. So we can definitely have some people step up to help with that as well. Pastor's thought for the week. Never mind the weather. Do you pay attention to Jesus? Jesus' watches and warnings. Okay, it's a little cut off on that. So if you've got that pen, you can always fill that in too. Praise God. All right, well, let's go ahead and enter into our... Oh, Pastor.
If I may, Jason, yes. Real quickly. Also, Iron Sharpens Iron is our men's Bible study. And so we want to invite everyone to that as well. But also, in our evening services beginning next week, we're going to be breaking up into some groups and doing a book study on men and women in the Bible. And so if you are interested or contemplating coming to that, you would need to get one of these books today so we'd be ready for next Sunday evening. I have those up here. Obviously, if you are not planning to come to Sunday evening services, you would not want to take one at this time until we know we have enough. But I would encourage you to come. And so if you're going to participate in that, these books are available up here. And just be praying that God will use that as we have those studies for a time. We're also going to be having a film night coming up later on, probably in May. The film we're going to look at is Sabina. It's about film that has to do with martyrdom. And I'm Voice of the Martyrs. That's what I'm trying to get remembered here this morning. And how that family that started that, the Wurmbrunn family, was taken into captive again by the Nazis and so forth. So these are some things to look forward to coming up. Thanks, Jason. Amen. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No problem at all. In fact, do we have any other announcements at all that anyone has that are not in the bulletin? Okay, not seeing any. Let's go ahead and move on to our time of offering. And, of course, this is a free will offering, just between you and the Lord. And no one's, you know, putting their hand out and asking for anything. And that's just between you and God once again. We do have the plates on the back table if you feel more comfortable doing that. Otherwise, the ushers will be going through as well, passing the plates. Let's go ahead and pray for the offering today. Oh, Lord, our Father, again, we just come before you, Lord, and we thank you once again for another beautiful day you've given us together here at church, Lord, and that you've given us this Christian family to gather with, Lord, and just for all of your blessings, your love, and your provision, God, for taking care of us in the good times and the bad times, Lord. We know that you are always with us and that you have promised to take care of us. And God, we want to come before you today, Lord, and just offer back some of what you've provided for us, Lord, as a gift back to you. And we pray, Lord God, that you will bless this gift today, bless the giver, and bless the offering, O Lord, for your grace and for your glory and your honor, I should say. We thank you, Lord, and praise you again for all that you are and do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our special's been canceled, but Doug, are you going to read scripture today? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Lonnie. For those of you who are in Sunday school, I shared, you know, I had a really bad cold the last couple of days. I'm still recovering from that, so I have the stamina to sing a solo for you this morning. One additional announcement about the work day, I guess, church policy, I'm the chairman of the trustees, and Jeff was that during his last 3 years, and I just want to testify that Jeff did a tremendous job. He has abilities in that area because of his experience and other things that he's done, and we're really blessed to have him do everything that's required of the church property, and I tried to learn some from him. I can do the physical work, but the financial dealings, Jeff and Kathy worked like a hand in a glove on that, so it's good that we let them remain doing that function, and I'll try to do my best in the other responsibilities. So Saturday, yeah, we're going to start 8, work day here. Jeff and I will have a list of things we need to get done. Might not get it all done, but then 9 o'clock, iron sharpens an iron. The men will have a break. Sorry, ladies. But there'll be coffee and donuts here for everybody to take part in, like there usually is, for break times and have a good time getting the work done here that needs to be done at Fruitland. So we'll look forward to that this Saturday. Okay, our reading is Matthew 21, verses 18 through 22. I'll give you a minute to turn there if you like. And this is Jesus' parable about the fig tree. And dealing with his disciples once again, taught them many lessons in practicality. Beginning of verse 18, now in the morning, as he returned into the way, he was hungry. And when he saw a fig tree along the way, he came to it and found nothing on it but leaves only, and said unto it, let no fruit grow on these henceforward forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things, whatever ye ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Wow, those are powerful words that Jesus spoke there. Because he spoke the truth, and it all came to pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Doug. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our services here at Fruitland Baptist Church. And we're always glad to see a good number of folks out. Glad to see people visiting with us today. We want you to be welcome. There are some kind gentlemen in the back. If you would need anything during the services, they'll be glad to help you. There's also a handout for today's message. I don't know if everyone received that or not, but if you would need one of those, just raise a hand and one will appear very rapidly. I see a few hands for you this morning. Just remember this, Doug mentioned what God may do in our callings, but realize this, God doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called. So the important thing is to answer his call. He'll set things straight. He'll help you to accomplish what he wants you to accomplish for him. And I'm glad again to see many people out at church today. Many people wonder, what's the value in church? Well, let me just say this. Jesus wants it for us and commands it, but he also wants it for another reason. And this is a good time when we can either be encouraged or admonished from the word, but also to be further equipped and encouraged in our mission field. And that's what the church gathers corporately for, to not only see souls reached here, but more importantly, outside of these walls. So we're on a mission. If you're a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, and if you aren't here today, I pray that you'll consider again a personal relationship with Jesus. There is nothing more exciting or fulfilling than to walk with the Savior. Anyway, as I get prepared here this morning, I'm going to declare about a 2 or 3 minute howdy time. So howdy time is just to go and say hello to someone. Of course, we have time afterward as well when we can do that. But go today and just say hello to someone maybe you haven't seen for a while or someone is new, and then we're going to get down to business on the message here before us this morning.
Good morning, Sandra. How are you? Good to see you. Hello there, Isaac. Hi, Mrs. Brown. We greet each other that way every day. I feel a little bit like Ed Sullivan used to. If some of you are old enough to remember him, when the show started, the audience wouldn't shut it down. And so I need to say tonight we've got a really big shoe. But this isn't a show here. This is the reality here of coming together before the throne of God for worship. But good to have some interaction that way, and we have time to do more of that later, Lord willing, when we get finished. If we get finished, right? We will not get finished with this message today, I guarantee you that, but we will come back next week and finish it if that is possible. So with that said this morning, there is one other thing. Jason has his hands in the air. Oh, hand sanitizers are available in the back of the auditorium if anyone needs them. We don't want to have anyone have problems. And also, Kim, you said we have a VBS meeting tonight. After church tonight. So be in prayer for that, and we are considering some exciting plans for that this summer as usual. The title of our message this morning is Jesus' Profound Warnings to Israel in the Week Before the Cross, Part 1. And so we're going to open in prayer and get right down to business on this. These are important things. There is nothing in the Bible that is unimportant. There is nothing that takes place today that is unimportant or insignificant with God. So therefore, it's important to hear what he has to say to help us in the decisions that we will do yet this day. Let's pray together. Father, we just come to you today with joy in our hearts. This is a celebration time. That's the gathering of the church on the first day of the week to celebrate new life, the resurrection. That's not just a day that's designated once a year, but should be an event for every believer every day to realize that we've been given new life in you, and this is an exciting walk. We are not facing the prospect of doom and gloom as believers, but we are facing a bright and wonderful future safely in your arms, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord, to realize there is no such thing as an insignificant moment or event in life. But, Lord, all these things are under your care and authority. And so we thank you, Lord, for that knowledge today and that fact that we can be secure in. But help us today, Lord, if there be one here that is not secure in you, to understand that today you've given many warnings in advance about things, and you warned your people Israel 3,000 years ago of some of these things that they needed to take action on but failed to. And I pray that the word will speak to our hearts today. Lord, I do pray for a movement of the Spirit in the flock today. And we know that we are missing people, as always, every Sunday. We pray especially today for a medical situation for Vonnie Carlson this morning, and some of her family is attending to that and are not here. But Lord, we also know that there are some critical spiritual illnesses also today, not only possibly here in our midst, but we know in our community. And Lord, we pray for our community wherever we may be from, whether it's here in the Fruitland area proper or the outlying areas, that we have people come from all over, and also people that hear this on our internet broadcast. So Lord, we pray to the end today for people's hearts and their souls. And I ask, Lord, today that you would grant me the ability to speak this through the power of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, you already know I'm weak, and the people here know that too. I'm weak and needy and frail. But Lord, through your power, we can see great things accomplished this day. And so we expect that, and we give that to you today, Lord, our love, our accolades, and just ask that you'd be the center of our time in the Word today. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, friends in Christ, as we prepare to celebrate the resurrection of God's Savior, Jesus, in 2 weeks officially, and as I said in the prayer, it always kind of bothers me, even though we know there is a sequential event that goes along with the Passover and so forth, that again shows us the significance of the Passover lamb for us, who is Jesus. New life ought to be something we celebrate each and every day. We ought to celebrate that resurrection. I hope today that you're excited, because this is the day that God has given us. We ought to rejoice and be glad in it today. And if you're not, there are reasons why, and we need to see God address those reasons in our lives today. But officially, but I trust that we commemorate it, as I said, daily in the new life he has given to the believer as we praise him to his glory. And so this is a day among every day to give him praise. You may have noticed the thought for the week today about Jesus' watches and warnings. And if you study the scripture, you'll realize that Jesus gave a lot of those. It's not just us, and of course I'm doing a little play on words with that, with the watches and warnings that we begin to receive quite a bit this time of the year regarding the weather. And I know this because I have a wife of many, many years that just hates this season. Because she may have a program, and I shouldn't use that word hate, but she is frustrated. I'll use that in a better way. When we see a line of severe storms come through, and she says, now we're going to have all this whole evening dedicated to the radar, and I'm going to miss my program. And we debate that every time. Of course, me being a farmer and having been out in the weather and being, as some of you may have been, a personal witness to the tornado that came through Fruitland a few years back, and a witness for me to three others. I'm not afraid of storms, but I am respectful of them, and I know that that is always a possibility for God's purposes, that he may allow that to come upon us. But you know what? It doesn't hurt to heed the warnings. And usually as a farmer, I'm pretty much aware on a given day, and I say, this is a day that we could have a storm. And you kind of learn those things, and you're inclined toward those things. But how often do we pay attention to when Jesus warns us? Well, I'm sorry to say, probably not often, because many people neglect weather watches and warnings to their destruction. And it's just been, what, 3 weeks ago? The tornadoes went through on Saturday. Patsy, how's your daughter doing? Yeah, over by Winterset and Norwalk. And so these things do happen. Well, many people neglect as well and ignore Jesus's watches and warnings. Jesus offered himself to Israel as their king, and he rode in what we call the Palm Sunday entry into the city of Jerusalem, 5 days before he went to the cross. And you remember what was taking place in that? Jesus had proffered himself to be the king of Israel. And indeed, he would have set up his kingdom if Israel would have listened to him and would have heeded his warnings and would have received him as the king of their lives. By the way, folks, today, even though we're in the day of the church age, Jesus is still giving warnings to people to bring him on as king in their lives today. And so these same things are applicable to what we go through today. You remember as he rode in on the foal of a donkey, the crowds cried, "Hosanna," which means save now. But within 5 days, the crowds, not all, but most of the crowds were saying, "Crucify him." What an event in the time of 5 days. Anyway, next Sunday is when we traditionally celebrate Palm Sunday, but I've given you the text about what took place as he rode into Jerusalem, how he offered himself as the king to Israel. The prophets had given that warning years, centuries before Jesus was here as the God-man. But of course, God the Father knew that Israel would reject that and that Jesus would go to the cross. And that's why we have a significant, important place in his ministry today, because he came not only for the Jew who rejected him the first time, but he came for the non-Jew. And aren't you thankful today that Jesus came for us and offered himself as our king? If you haven't received him today. That's what he wants. He loves you dearly. He's concerned for your eternal well-being and your well-being even today. Anyway, Hosanna turned into crucify him in 5 short days. And you know what? We could preach on that, and I have in the past, but I was led to preach about some different things. The watches and warnings that he gave, really, on the Monday and the Tuesday, specifically, before he went to the cross. Now, I don't use this term a lot, but if you want to use the term Holy Week, what took place between the triumphal entry into Jerusalem and the path to the cross, and eventually the empty tomb when he rose again, a week later from that triumphal entry, Jesus did a lot of things. You could look this up on your device or in the history books, and you'll find recorded, and of course the ultimate history book is the Bible, and you'll find recorded in there that that week was packed with monumental events and things that took place. And so today, we're going to look at the watches and warnings that Jesus gave after that triumphal day of entry, 1 week before he rose victoriously from the grave. There's a lot in Scripture, folks, and I can't do it all in one message, but you have the opportunity to look at it all the time whenever it's possible for you to do so. So today, and possibly one other time, and that would probably be next Sunday morning before Resurrection Sunday, we will examine Jesus' warnings to Israel from Matthew's account. And there's more in the other Gospels, and in particular from chapters 21 through 23. And hopefully you have that note sheet today. You can scribble some things in there if it catches your interest. But the fact is, most of Israel failed to heed them, those warnings, and many are applicable to us today directly or indirectly. So what have or will you and I do? That's a profound question for the day. These events and warnings took place early in the week, on Monday or Tuesday, very likely. While there was still time to take heed. But as we know, the warnings, for the most part, went unacknowledged. So today we're going to begin in the book of Matthew, chapter 21, and the first text that we're going to examine is Matthew 12 through 17. But before we go there, just a little background about what was going on here. As Jesus came for this holy week, or this week that was to prepare him for the cross, the tomb, and the resurrection, where he died for the sins of the world, he was hanging out with some friends. Does anyone know what friends he was with? He was in the town of Bethany. Bethany means house of bread. It's also known as the town of Bethphage, which means house of figs. There's some relevance to that, figs being a popular fruit in Israel. But he was hanging out in the house of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And so when you see it noted in Scripture that he was traveling between the two, he apparently went back there in the evenings, and they had sweet fellowship. What was significant about Mary and Martha and Lazarus's house? Oh, come now, folks. Lazarus died, and Jesus resurrected him. They were good friends, but Mary and Martha were good friends of Jesus as well, right? Because what took place in that situation? They had invited Jesus over for a meal. And who was the one that was the busy one doing all the preparation for the meal? It was Martha, but Mary and Martha had a little tiff. Well, Martha had the tiff with Mary about this because Mary wanted to sit at Jesus' feet and listen to him. And Jesus had to get that set straight. And he says, you know, both are important, but the most important thing is to do what Mary's doing, to come and have fellowship with me and to listen to what I have to say. So that was a dynamic home. I just wanted to give you that little sidebar that was what was taking place there before this. And then the other thing about Jesus in this timeline before we go into our text for today is that after that day, I believe it was the first thing on Monday morning. And let me just say this for some of us old timers here. Monday used to be known as what in the week? Someone said wash. That's the way I speak too. That's Midwesternese. It's wash day or wash day if you come from a different dialectic background. And so what's the first thing that you do on a Monday? Clean house. And we won't go on our text today, but the first thing Jesus did that Monday morning is he went into the temple. Remember what he did in the temple? There was a bunch of corruption in the temple. By the way, folks, we're going to talk about that here in our next point about religion. Jesus didn't have any time for religion. Jesus talks about true faith. It's not going through practices. It's a living faith with him that he wants. That's what he called Israel to. But you'll remember, he knocked over dumped the tables of the money changers and all the crooked people that were part of the religion in the temple. And yes, meek and mild Jesus even took a what? It's recorded in Scripture. A whip. And he drove the crooks out of the temple. And he said, this place is a place of prayer. I'm paraphrasing here. You've made my house into a den of thieves. And he cleaned house on Monday morning. Well, let's go to the first point then here this morning, beginning in verse 12, of these profound warnings that Jesus gave to Israel. The first one he gave is to get rid of religion. To get rid of religion. Now, I don't even pretend to know what all your hearts are like here this morning. And that's between you and the Lord. I'm just going to preach the word. But I do know this, that if we're here today for the wrong motives, you might as well have not come. You understand what I'm saying? Let me just illustrate one of those points. And again, I'm glad you're here, and you're not here by mistake, because we know that God has reasons for everything. But if you're here today and you're saying, you know, I went because it's what I traditionally do, and I feel good, I feel better when I go. But the impact of the word has no bearing on you. Folks, that's religion. That's going to feel better by being dogmatic about something. It's not reality. If someone's in that mode today, it is worth thinking about. And Jesus is going to set that straight here. He says, get rid of religion and find Jesus the real deal. And what he's going to illustrate in this passage is this. He says, look at the kids. And we had a children's message here last Sunday. And I always like that interaction. They have some good thoughts when they're gathered around up front here. Last week it was sea stars, if you weren't here. And we learned the significance of that. But you know what? Kids aren't corrupted by time as we are. Now, make no doubt, kids are corrupted because they're a part of the human race. And we're all corrupt. But they grasp things that we question. You know? They don't fight against things that God presents simply and say, well, I need to look into that further. If Jesus said something, you know, to the children, they believed him. And that's the kind of faith that Jesus wants us to have. It's the kind of faith that he wanted Israel to have. Let's look at the text and let it speak for itself this morning. Chapter 21 of Matthew, beginning with verse 12. And you can go back and look here at what I told you about the cleansing of the temple and so forth. But here we find it. Well, excuse me, that is verse 12. He is basically saying, get rid of religion. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. It was a business, folks. This was a center to worship the God of the Bible, but they turned it into a corrupt money-making exercise. One of the things that I've liked about Fruitland Baptist Church over the years is that this ministry is not about money. It's about people's souls. We never crank on anyone. We never ask any. That's between you and the Lord. And you know what? He's taken perfect care of us. We don't have to have a committee to raise finances. We don't have to have bake sales. We don't have to do any of that. We can just love people. Because people have been energized to take care of those needs through the power of the Spirit. I like that, folks. And I think it's what Jesus wants. And you know what? We've never lacked. Jesus tells us that too. That if we're in line with Him, He'll supply all of our needs. We don't have to go out and make it ourselves. He'll do it for us. Underline and underscore the word needs there. He'll always take care of us. And He said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it into a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to Him in the temple, and He healed them. By the way, that's what the temple was for. And today we don't have that temple because the temple of God is in our hearts. When we're saved, again, in our bodies is where the Holy Spirit resides today. That's a wonderful thing, folks. But God is there in both ways for our healing. It can be in a physical sense, but the most important part is a physical sense. I'm concerned for people that are physically ill, but I'm more concerned for people that are spiritually ill. And that's what Jesus was saying in this as well. Now notice who shows up next. The Pharisees, the chief priests and the scribes, all the religious leaders, and they saw the wonderful things that He did, and the children crying in the temple saying, Hosanna, or save now, to the Son of David. They were sore displeased. There again, the kids had it right. They understood who He was. Why do you suppose these muckety-mucks of the religious circles in that day were intimidated by Jesus? Because you know what? This was their livelihood. This was their job. This is how they made their way in life. And let me just say, it was an easy way in life. Don't ever be hoodwinked by all this stuff that's out there today either, where if you get saved or you come into a relationship with Christ, it's all going to be easy, because it's not. But it's going to be the most blessed thing that you can do to walk with Jesus and see how He extricates you or brings you through the maze of life when you walk with Him. Because He will do that, you see, and that's the wonderful thing about a personal walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. These guys were caught up in the business of religion. And folks, let me tell you, God's church and God's people is not a business. It's a calling. It's not a religion, folks. It's a personal thing. And notice here, they were displeased about what Jesus did. And He said unto them, hearest thou what these say? And Jesus said unto them, yea, have you never read, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise? Jesus is essentially saying to these guys, your heart is not right, but these kids' heart is right. And this is where you're headed astray. This is the warning He gave. You're practicing a business for me, a religion, but you miss the great points of why I am here and who the God of the Bible is. God spent years trying to get the nation of Israel to come into line with His love for them. They resisted it. Even yet to this day, the nation of Israel is not restored because of their walk from the God of the Bible. But there is a day coming when they will be restored, and they can be restored today individually through Jesus Christ. He's the only way, the Bible says. He is the way, the significant, exclusive way, truth, and life. No one comes to Him, or comes to the Father, but by or through Him. John 14:6. Verse 17, and He left them and went out of the city into Bethany, and He lodged there. That apparently was a pretty big event for that day on Monday, because He called it a day after that. What do you think about that? There's probably a reason, folks, because that's the biggest battle we fight today. False religion. Religion. Dogmatic, legalistic religion. In Jesus Christ, we're offered freedom. And we're offered the abundance of life as He giveth more and more each day to us. So there it is. The first thing he told Israel, maybe today there's some people here that need to get rid of religion and need to come into a true living walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about, folks. This church is not an established place that we gather in the sense that that's going to do something for us. It's a privilege that we have a place to gather and an identity. But our identity is with Jesus Christ and with the ministry and mission that he has inside, but also, more importantly, outside the walls of this building. We are his body, his flesh, and his bones. Second point, unless someone wants to hear me yammer further. My wife tells me all the time when I wake her up to preach at 3 in the morning, John, it's time to take a rest. So when you're done today, tell me, give it a rest, preacher man. Second point that Jesus warned Israel about, his watches and warnings. He said, in essence, lack of faith in me has sealed your fate. Lack of faith in me has sealed your fate. Still applies today. Let me just say, according to what Jesus taught through the scriptures and what was practiced, your lack of faith today is going to be detrimental in your walk for Jesus and with Jesus. It's all about faith. We're not saved by works or anything that we can do. There's nothing we can offer. We're saved by placing our faith and trust in receiving the gift of salvation in Jesus Christ and identifying with him and walking with him in obedience and trusting him for everything. You have a hangnail on your finger today. Trust Jesus for the outcome, sincerely. He's in it from the smallest minute detail to the biggest possible thing that happens in your life. And that's what he tried to tell Israel. So let's see. By the way, this is the cursing of the fig tree. And you may want to look at some of the other renditions of this story and the account that took place even following this on another journey after Jesus cursed the fig tree. But the fig tree, in this warning and watch message today from Jesus, represents the nation of Israel. He was telling them, you better get your act together. And, well, let's just go to the text and let it illustrate. Starting with verse 18 this morning. Excuse me. I have some wrong numbers on your sheet this morning, don't I? I don't know. You're going to have to help me, Lord. I need help. Yeah, we need to start in 18, though, today. Sorry about that. As you all know that have been around me long enough, I am fallible. I'm a sinner saved by grace. Sometimes I don't see the best, but that's no excuse. But that's why you're here to help me, right? You can criticize me, but please help me first. Starting with verse 18. I thought I was out of whack here on this. I make mistakes, and you know it. Now in the morning, as he returned into the city, there again we see the scenario, he probably spent a nice evening. You suppose that Martha cooked up a good meal? Mary, by the way, what else did Mary do? You remember what she did? She broke a priceless box of perfume over his head that signified, again, a burial spice that he was going to go and be crucified on the cross, buried, and rose again. Mary worshiped Jesus. Martha cumbered about, as it says in the King James Version. She was into all the trappings, but Mary's heart was in the right place. You can study that. Now in the morning, as he returned into the city, he hungered. This shows us as well that the Lord Jesus, while he was fully God, he was also fully man. He liked to have breakfast in the morning. How many of you like that? Very important, isn't it? We talked in our junior-senior high class this morning about little g gods, and I pointed to a cup of coffee that I had with me in Sunday school. By the way, come and join us for morning Sunday school, either in the adults or the other ages. They always have coffee and rolls and all kinds of things that I cannot eat. Seriously, unless it's a special event, the only time I have a cup of coffee through the week is on Sunday morning. But I've known it, and maybe some in here say the same. You know something, Pastor? I can't do one thing in the morning until I have. Now, no one needs to incriminate themselves here today. We may have some people. I've known some people in this congregation that told me they drink a pot coffee. They're seated about halfway over on this side of the auditorium this morning before they get started. We can come up with all kinds of little g gods in our life. Even coffee that can stop us from going to the God of the Bible every day before we drink it. Now, I'm not going to get all shook about that, but get the point that Jesus makes here. He says, he does the following. They're traveling, and he saw a fig tree in the way, and he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only. Jesus was in the position that day to have a fig for breakfast, a fruit. Now, what do you think about when you think about figs? That's the same with me, Lonnie. A fig Newton would taste really good right now, wouldn't it? Absolutely. Maybe a... And what, Doug?
Lots of fiber.
Lots of fiber. Figs were fruits. They were very delectable. By the way, the figs, as I mentioned, a fig and the fig tree symbolized Israel. Figs had a... Well, we won't go there today, but they have a specific time when they need to be harvested within 3 days. It all parallels to the nation of Israel. But Jesus is hungry. He goes to the tree. It's a beautiful looking tree. But no figs. How many of you have ever raised trees or apples and things like that? Several of you have put up, Jeff's had a hand up. I have some apple trees out there at the farm. Every once in a while, apple tree, and I'm no student of horticulture in that respect, but every once in a while, a tree won't bear fruit on a season. Because it's gone what? Dormant. It'll be back. But you know what? That tree, even though it has no apples on it, is a beautiful looking tree. It's green, but no fruit. What's the use of having a tree that's beautiful if there's no fruit? Speaking of that, I'm late in the game. I should have been pruning the trees, and I need to get some props under them because I have one tree that bears so heavily on one limb that if I don't prop it up every year, it'll break the limb off. Wouldn't that be great if we are looked at as a tree if we bore so much fruit for Jesus that he'll prop us up, friends, let me tell you. But Jesus wanted a fig. He sees a beautiful tree. See, that's what Israel looked like externally. Now, we've talked about that before. Yes, I combed my hair this morning, what little I have left. And yes, I do use extra hold. And we discussed that last week, some of us, about some things. We all look pretty... Let me look again. I think everyone looks pretty sharp here this morning. Craig, man, good to see you today. Yeah. But you know what? If you come at different times or you see me when I'm in my work clothes and an old stocking hat, you know, there's two strands of hair that fly around when I pull it off. But you know what? Jesus was looking at Israel. They looked beautiful on the exterior, but they bore no fruit. You know, we're all here today in our Sunday finest. We probably all look pretty good, but let me ask us this morning what Jesus is warning us about here, how he warned Israel. What's it look like inside? Are you bearing fruit today for him? I'm not here to take the inventory on that. I'm thinking about myself. And those of you that know me long enough know that I'm up here every Sunday because I need to be. No, I don't mean preaching. I need to be responding, see. And I'm not what I should be. Maybe some of us aren't either. Let's go on. Jesus said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever. You know, we ought to not mess around with the Lord. And that's coming down here in the next category. But God gave Israel loads of warnings. And what he was basically telling them here is, you fool around, you're going to be subject to getting just what you want. By the way, God gives us what we want. Many times he allows it, whether it's the right thing or the wrong thing. You know, people complain about the political climate here in America. By the way, politics will never fix America. It's going to be changed hearts. Amen. And that's where we still have the bully pulpit, because we've got the good news of the gospel to share with people that will change people. Now, in my senior moment, I had something profound to say, and I can't remember. It may come back to me, and it may not. Sometimes it's a day later. Oh, but I'm sorry? That's right. And we also sometimes get it even when we know it's not good for us because it's our choice. See? But Jesus says, you're done. You're done. For a long period of time, as a nation, Israel is not going to produce fruit for God because that's what they wanted. So he says, I'll give it to you. That's how it's going to be. And notice what happened? The fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? You know what, folks? If we're on the wrong side of God, it doesn't matter if it's thousands of years in the perspective of Israel, but if we're on the wrong side, it's going to be too soon when we wither away. Don't mess with Jesus. Walk with him. Jesus answered and said unto them, verse 21, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this, which is done to the fig tree, but also if you shall say unto this mountain, be removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. You see, this was the problem. Jesus was warning and illustrating this to his disciples. He says, you better place your faith in me, your confidence in me. This is the example. Israel rejected the God of the Bible, and now their fate has been secured. It's been sealed, at least for long term, temporarily, until it comes around. Verse 22, in all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. And again, there's other criteria that God gives for answered prayer, but the first one is if you don't even believe when you pray it, you're not going to receive it. Faith is what's critical in all things. We're saved by God's grace through the faith he gives us to trust in him. That's the message of the gospel. It's not religion. It's that simple. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Israel was the fig tree, and they lacked faith. Lack of faith in me, Jesus said, has sealed your fate. We're going to do one more on overtime. Is that all right? By the way, I don't get paid extra for overtime. Neither do you. Hey, we may not get through that. We may have to do a Sunday evening service again to catch up on all this. Yes, ma'am, you have a question. Oh, okay. You get paid for learning about Jesus? Thank you, preacher lady. You know what? The payment of God, or the payment of the riches of his glory when we receive him. Thank you. By the way, if you're saved here today, you know Jesus Christ personally, you're wealthy today. Don't go out of this place and say, oh, I don't have any money, inflation. You're rich. This stuff here, it matters, but it doesn't matter as much as the riches and glory of Christ Jesus, being a child of God. Amen. Now, you made me get more overtime for slowing us down here, but that's okay. Thanks for your comment. Third point, don't play games with Jesus. I already illustrated that briefly. And here we want to go to the parable of the two sons, I believe. I think I was going to leave out the one here. So let's go to verse 28. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. By the way, the vineyard here also compares to Israel. And he answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented. Changed his mind is what that means. And he went. Can we identify with this? Has anyone ever asked you to do something and you refused it, but then you thought, you know what, I better rethink that. By the way, if you're born again here today, the Holy Spirit got a hold of your heart in the meantime and said, what are you doing, crazy person? Answering like that. That's not the way you ought to operate. And he came to the second son and said likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir. But what? Didn't go. By the way, think about the hearts here. Who had a tender heart for God? We had a message on this just a few weeks ago. Whether of them, Jesus said, did the will of his Father? And they said unto him, again, he's talking to the religious leaders here and his disciples. They say unto him, the first. Jesus saith unto them, verily I say unto you that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. The people that had a dirty life. By the way, we're all dirty. But the ones that received the message that Jesus was the answer, and in the case of Israel, that Jesus was the answer and the God of the Bible was the answer, and they repented, they turned around, they're the ones that were going to go into the kingdom. By the way, Jesus was offering the kingdom at that time, but his kingdom won't be set up till he's back on his millennial throne. And we won't go into all that today. But the thing is, he says it's going to be the people that realized through the calling of the Spirit that they made a mistake and they go back to God. Folks, God's door is open to you and I today. Aren't you thankful for that? For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and you believed him not. He's talking about John the Baptist here. He could be talking about Pastor John, but I'm not in the way of righteousness. I'm a sinner saved by grace, the righteousness of Christ. But there's people that haven't listened to what I've said, too, over the years, that came from the Word of God. And you believed him not, but the publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when you had seen it, repented not afterward that ye might believe him. And what I've got out of that is simply just this. Don't play games with God. Don't allow your heart to become hard and to tell him one thing and do another. There's more of that coming in further messages about hypocrites, of which I am one, sadly. Are any of you? Don't tell God one thing and then do another. Today, run to him and tell him, hey, I'm like this first son. I know what you said. I didn't want to listen to you, but now you've got my attention. I want to enter into your kingdom. I want to walk with you, Lord. You know what? If we see that happen in our lives and we see it practiced in our lives, we'll see big things happen for Jesus in our walk with him. But don't play games with God. Because let me just tell you, God controls the clock of the game. And you don't know when time's going to run out. While there is yet time, run to him today. So that you know you'll be a part of the kingdom of heaven. We got to stop there. So I'm going to go to the conclusion. Woodrow, I like to see that smile. We've got a few more points here to cover, and I'll get that corrected before next week with the numbers problem. Lord, forgive me. But here's the whole thing here of what Jesus was telling Israel. He says, time's going to run out on you people. Destruction is coming. You know what I'm talking about here today. For people that may be apart from the Lord Jesus, but even if you're saved, but you're backslidden today from Christ, today's the day to get it set straight. He controls the clock. Because he says, destruction will come because you've rejected my warnings. Here's the conclusion. Also during this week, there was a guy named Judas that was operating too as one of the disciples. Sometime we could do a study about Judas. I have in the past. You probably have too. Don't get too high and mighty. A lot of people have sold Jesus out. Some for less than 30 pieces of silver. You agree? But likely Judas, either on the Tuesday, which I did get to the Tuesday in the third point, either Tuesday or Wednesday, remember what Jesus did? Even after hearing all this. By the way, Jesus was talking to his people, the Jews. His disciples were Jews. He was telling them all these things. And probably at least that day on Tuesday or at the very latest Wednesday, Judas did what? He didn't sell him yet, but he agreed to sell out Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver to betray him. The warnings to Israel that we have explored, and we only got through three of them, they apply not only to Israel specifically, but they can be taken to us as well. My question is for all of us, including myself, how will you respond today? What will be the record of your story and mine? And let me just say this. Jesus has a record of us today. He knows everything we've done. He knows the thoughts and intents of our heart. We're on record today, folks. We're on record every day. This has been a Jesus warning issued for your location today. I've said enough, except amen. Let's take our hymnals, or it's on the screen, and stand. 564, and this is what Jesus is asking for today. He wants our hearts. He wants the treasure of our hearts in a personal walk and relationship with Him. Read about it. It's in the history book, the Bible, but also secular history. Israel has paid to this day a heavy price for not heeding the warnings. You and I will pay a heavy price if we don't heed the warnings. Jesus loves us. He's gentle with us today. He wants us to get it right. You come today to His throne. You don't have to come forward, but you know what? You may want to, but we need to come to His throne today and get it set straight. Don't let the warning go by. Here we are in 564. Give me thy heart, says the Father above. Gift so precious to Him as our love. Softly He whispers wherever thou art. Gratefully trust me and give me thy heart. Give me thy heart. Give me thy heart. Hear the soft whisper wherever thou art. From this dark world He would draw thee apart. Speaking so tenderly, give me thy heart. You've been a wonderful audience today. I pray that you'll have a great afternoon. Don't forget, Jesus is open on Sundays. And He's open every day of the week for that matter. And He'll be glad to hear from you or from me. Have a great afternoon in Jesus' name. Denny, would you close us in prayer, please?